Please be seated. I'm going to read to you a few verses from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is talking about three traditional acts of Jewish piety: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And in each section, Jesus says, there's a certain way you shouldn't be doing this, and here's a better way of doing this. So you, the hearer, get to choose which of these two ways you want to pursue when you do good acts or acts of piety, and also me. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Then we go to verse 16 about fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. A little bit I've included on the end. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But friends, our theme for tonight is egoless. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you'd pour your Spirit into our hearts. Lord, that you would bring a word of life to our hearts, a word of hope to our hearts. Lord, that we would become more and more like Jesus. Amen. All right, the word ego is an interesting word. I remember when I was a young fella, the Skyhooks had a song, "Ego is not a dirty word." And I always wondered, well, what does ego mean? So I looked it up in a dictionary. The I or self of any person, a person as thinking, feeling and willing and distinguishing itself from the selves of others and from objects of its thought. In other words, it's the self. Okay, next slide. Egocentric, having or regarding self as the centre of all things, especially as applied to the known world. Or the second definition is self-centred. Ego. It includes our sense of identity, who I am and whose I am. It includes whether I am secure in heart and mind to be myself and not someone else, and whether I feel worthy and okay as a person. I think there are three very simple questions to work out what our ego is based on. And it's how we finish these three sentences. I feel significant when. My sense of self-worth is greatest when... I am secure when... I wonder how you would finish those sentences. If you're a follower of Jesus, hopefully you would finish those sentences with something about Jesus or Father or Holy Spirit in the rest of the thing. But if we consulted people in our 21st century secular culture, how might they finish that first one? I feel significant when... Call them out. I might feel significant when I have power or influence over others. I might feel significant when I've succeeded or beaten other people in a certain sporting competition or academic achievement. My sense of self-worth is greatest when... When it's all about me? When I've climbed the ladder in the career path. I'm secure when my relationships with family, friends and colleagues are all going well. Maybe I feel secure when my house is all set up the way I want it. I've got plenty of toys to play with and I can pursue all my hobbies and interests without interference. Or I feel secure when I've got enough money in the bank to cover me in case of any emergency. Me, I, ego. And here's the thing. If we don't feel good about ourselves, we can try to prove ourselves to others. Oh, look, if I do something spectacular, other people will notice, and when they praise me, then I'll feel good about myself. I wonder what's going on at a heart and soul level there. Yeah, when people say good things about me, then I'll feel good about myself. It's almost a bit desperate. Where does that desperation come from? Friends, I think the root of it is insecurity. Insecurity drives us to get the attention we crave so we can feel good about ourselves. And the biblical term for that is vainglory or empty glory. It's grasping after the worth and security and significance that only God could give us. Let me explain how this operates, because it started in an ancient garden. God created us in his image so we would rest secure in his love and live to his glory. Yes? But when we reached for that forbidden fruit on that tree, we were grasping after God's glory because we wanted to be just like God. Yes? We wanted to be masters of our own life and destiny. And so we push God off the throne of our hearts and put self there, me, ego. Sadly, when we reject or displace our Creator, we end up isolating ourselves from our source. And the one, as Georgie says, loves us most and knows us best and always wants what is right and perfect for us. Now, the pursuit of this vainglory or God's glory, because it's an exercise in vanity, always leaves us empty. The irony is, the more self-centered we are, the more insecure we become. Yes? Would you agree with that? That's what egomania does to us. Many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day were egomaniacs. In our Bible reading, Jesus talks about these three acts of piety. Friends, there was nothing wrong with those three acts of piety because God commanded them in the law of Moses. God says, I want you, my people, to practice these things at certain times of the year. They're not wrong in themselves. And when practiced rightly, they are ways that we can honour God and show love to our neighbour. I think they're the big two, aren't they? Love God, love neighbour. But in Jesus' day, the religious leaders were showing off their personal acts of piety to be seen by others, hoping that people would say, you're fantastic, we honour you, you're great. Do you think it ever worked? Do you think the ostentatious displays of the Pharisees actually impressed anyone? Do Aussies get impressed by that sort of stuff? What do we call people who do that sort of stuff? Tall poppies? Tryhards? What does Jesus call them? Hypocrites. Hypocrite. The word is of an actor on the stage. They often wore masks to portray a different character. So Jesus is saying that the religious leaders are giving a great performance to get attention to feed their fragile egos. In other words, it's all about me. The question is, if no one was watching, would they keep doing it? And Jesus tells his disciples, including you and me, don't be like them. Because when they receive the accolades and honours from people, that is all the reward they will get. What does Jesus tell us to do instead? Do these things secretly, in secret. Because your Father will see what's going on. And he'll recognise that you're doing it to honour him. And he will reward you. So my question is, whose reward do you really want to get? It's a good question, isn't it? Our Heavenly Father, he knows the motives of our hearts, not just the deeds done, whether those good things are done to get honour from others or to give glory to him. Consider Jesus. When Jesus prayed and fasted, where did Jesus do that? In solitary places, to be alone. When Jesus taught and healed people and cast out demons, was he trying to bring honour to himself? Did you see that video last Sunday? Like leper that Jesus cleansed. The leper says, well, why don't you want your own honour? Jesus said, I don't want you to tell anybody. Because Jesus says, no. It's not about me, it's about bringing glory to my Father in heaven. Even when he feeds the 5,000 and then the 4,000, Jesus looks up to heaven and prays and gives thanks to his Father for what's about to happen. Jesus never asserts his own will, but surrendering to the Father always seeks his glory. And friends, Jesus could die to self. Why? Because he was totally secure in his Father's love. Jesus could go the way of the cross, even unto death, the brutal death of crucifixion, because he trusted his Father would raise him to life again when it had never, ever happened before. It's out of love for you and me. Jesus gives up his perfect life for us. So we could come into his relationship with his Father. So we could find our place of refuge and safety and esteem. And so we could give him glory in our everyday lives. And when we rest secure in this love that God shares with us in Jesus, then our good works are not there to try and earn God's favour. It's because we've already received it. Yes? You've already received it. Oh, God delights in me. God loves me. God treasures me. And so what else can I do other than love him and serve others? And so, giving to the poor prayer or fasting are simply ways we show our delight. Friends, when our significance and worth and security is in Jesus, we don't need to bolster our egos. And when we know the cost that Jesus paid to make us his forever, then how on earth could life on this earth be all about me? That hymn we sang before, Isaac Watts, the first verse of that always unravels me. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Egoless, it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. May this Jesus grow larger in our hearts and minds as we follow him throughout this Lent season. Amen. Amen. Right, well, let's sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.